To wrap up their final series of the year against the Boston Red Sox, the Yankees took 2 out of 3 games in Fenway Park. We're going to break it all down for you and give you a little bit of an update on the Yankees' playoff stance on this new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. The Yankees are in the final week of the 2020 regular season, and it's crazy to say that, and it's crazy to think about, especially given the way that the season has gone. You only have a 60-game slate, so it's definitely a lot different than normal. However, the postseason is coming, and we're gearing up for that. The Yankees are essentially in the postseason. It's just a matter of the actual magic number going down to 0. And then we're going to see where they place in the postseason situation. Right now, it looks like they're going to be playing in the 4-5 matchup. It all depends on whether or not they're going to be playing those games in the Bronx or on the road. But as always, as we continue to break down everything regarding the New York Yankees, follow us on social media, on Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account, at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast, available on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. We're also on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. You name it, our show is there available for you. And we have some breaking news for you guys today. I figured, let's give it to them early in the show, give them some good news. The good news that we have to bring to you is that we are now officially on Amazon Music. So if you use Amazon Music, you have a Amazon Prime account, you could find our show on that platform as well. It's a new addition. We just found out this week that we are on there, and we're excited to be a part of their team as well. So another outlet for you to listen to our show. Now, remember, we're brought to you by Delahanty Media. You can find us at our website, DelahantyMedia.com. Go to our store, support our brand. You know the deal. All our shows and content is on there as well. So check it out as you go along. And we definitely have a lot more to talk about. But today's show, essentially going to cover the 3-game set between the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. And now, let's remember, the Yankees have had their way with the Red Sox in 2020. And let's be real, it's actually started back in 2019. The Yankees have really dominated the series so far this year going in. They were 7-0 against the Red Sox, looking for the complete 10-0 record against them this year. It's a very one-sided rivalry at this point. The Red Sox are in a rebuild. A couple of injuries have really hampered them this year. But nonetheless, the rivalry is better when the games are exciting. And we expect a few things with these rivalries. Number one, you expect at least one 4-hour-plus game out of the 3-game set. You expect a dogfight. Regardless of how good or bad either team is, you expect that the other one is going to come to play. And let's face it, the Yankees have a lot to play for still. The Red Sox necessarily don't. So going in, my thought was the Red Sox are going to come in and look at the Yankees and say, you know, we could kind of play spoilers against these guys. You know, we have the possibility of taking 2 or 3 or even sweeping them and really putting a damper on their postseason seeding. And that could hurt the Yankees as well. We're going to get into that in a little while, and we talked about it on our last show. But let's jump right into Game 1. Game 1 happened on Friday night. Remember, series is happening in Fenway. The Red Sox get out to an early lead. They were up 4-0 by the 5th inning. Jordan Montgomery got the ball. He didn't last 5 innings. He allowed 4 runs on 5 hits. He did strike out 7. Montgomery, you know, there's times where Montgomery looks really good, and then there's times where he just doesn't look like the same pitcher, and he had a really taxing first inning, which got to him a little bit. But overall, you know, I don't know how I feel about Jordan Montgomery. When you see the flashes of what he can be, it really excites you because he is a young arm and whatnot, and you expect that he could be really good. But then he has some bad situations he's put into, or bad situations that he puts himself into, I should say. And it really just makes you question what the Yankees do have in him. But nonetheless, he didn't have it in this start. Really wasn't effective. Luckily for the Yankees, though, the bullpen ended up being really, really good. Luis Sessa comes in, and we're going to talk about him at the end of the show because I want to kind of elaborate on something I saw on social media over the past couple of hours about him. He goes an inning and a third, no runs. They turn it over to Ottavino. Clean inning, allows one hit. Britton, another phenomenal inning. Green, again, follows that up. The Yankees bullpen continues that trend. Chapman comes in later on in the ballgame. Now, we're in extra innings because the Yankees end up tying the game late in the ballgame. They got their runs scored from the seventh inning on. Let's start in the seventh inning. Ground rule double from Gary Sanchez. He wasn't done. That scores two runs, cuts the lead in half. At that point, it's 4-2. In the top of the eighth inning, with Judge on first, Giancarlo Stanton hits a double, and Judge motors around the base to score. Now, mind you, I was holding my breath because after what Judge has dealt with this year, very scary situation if you're a Yankee fan. You don't want Judge to go down with an injury. And then you're holding your breath because Giancarlo Stanton is the other guy you don't want getting hurt. So there's a lot to look at in that situation as well. Let's jump to the top half of the ninth inning with two outs. Gary Sanchez, the hero from earlier, comes up and he hits a home run that barely got out, barely got above the Green Monster to tie the game. And the Yankees forced the game into extra innings in the top half of the 11th. Luke Voit hits an RBI single, scoring Tauchman, who was placed at second base for that second base runner rule, which I still hate that rule, but you know what, it is what it is. And then the Red Sox are able to tie the game in the bottom half of the 11th, so we move on to the 12th. DJ LeMahieu, who's carrying a hit streak into this one, was hitless going into the 12th. He hits a double to right field down the line. And that scored a run, and that would end up being your ballgame. Yankees go on to win 6-5. And even though it was almost a five-hour game, and I was falling asleep watching it, the game almost ended around 12:40 on the East Coast. You know, it felt like one of those great come-from-behind wins for the Bronx Bombers, and it felt like one of those games that great teams end up winning. You know, regardless of the deficit, they were down by four runs, and regardless of who you're playing, four runs is a deficit that can be challenging for teams to overcome. So you're looking at it, and you see this team fighting back. And obviously, they didn't have the offensive explosion that they had against Toronto, but they were able to come through and figure it out and get the lead. And you got to give credit to the bullpen. They were phenomenal once again. That's what the Yankees' bread and butter is. That's what they hope for. You know, you're turning the ball over to those guys. You know, Cess has been reliable. Ottavino struggled, but you expect the kind of brilliance that he had in that inning. Britton's been phenomenal. Chad Green, what more can you say about him when he's on? Chapman, you know, he got himself into a little bit of trouble. Not much, but a little. And he was still able to get out of it. Loaisiga, and I have to be completely honest with you, I love watching Jonathan Loaisiga pitch. He's grown in this reliever role, and I absolutely love how the Yankees are using him at this rate. They are utilizing his skill set to the best of what I think he can be. Now, mind you, they thought he could be a starter. Maybe they still do think he could be a starting pitcher in this league. But the way he's able to let it all loose out of the bullpen, I absolutely love that. I say it a couple of times, Dellin Betances is a guy, very similar, electric stuff that just fits better in the bullpen. If I'm the Yankees, I don't play around with this young kid. I let him rock in the bullpen. And it adds to your depth moving forward because you obviously hope that Tommy Canley's back next year. And you don't know what you're going to have back with some guys who have options or free agents or whatnot. So he's a guy you can rely on. And he's shown in big situations he can get the job done. So a nice win in game one for the Yankees. They move on to win that one 6-5. Now, carrying a 9-game winning streak, the Yankees go into this one looking for 10 wins in a row. Game two brought to you in Fenway Park once again, and the Yankees turn the ball over to Jay Happ, who was phenomenal. Happ goes 8 innings, throws 113 pitches, strikes out 9 Red Sox in the process. The Red Sox go down in shutout fashion, so Happ and an inning from Nick Nelson get the job done on the pitching end, and the Yankees offense did more than enough to give the Yankees a lead that they would never relish. Let's start in the first inning. Urshela sack fly, scores LeMahieu, puts him up 1-0, followed by a Frazier RBI single, makes it 2-0 from there. A Kyle Higashioka infield single, scores a run, followed by a Wade fielder's choice, and then that is 4-0 at the end of 4. We go to the fifth, more damage done. Luke Voit single, MVP candidate, I can't stress it enough. 5-0 Yankees. Then downtown goes Frazier. hits a home run, puts the Yankees up 7-0. They add another run in the top half of the ninth on a Gio Urshela sack fly to make it 8-0, and that would be your final. Yankees muster up 11 hits in a ball game. A couple of guys with multi-hit games. LeMahieu had 2 hits. Gardner and Voit also had a pair of hits apiece. And then you have Clint Frazier, 3 hits, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs, had the home run. Batting average over 300. He was phenomenal as well. But let's get into Jay Happ, who's the real hero in this ball game. Happ goes 8 strong, like I mentioned. He is the first pitcher, Yankees pitcher that is, with 8-plus scoreless innings, no walks, and 9 strikeouts in a game against the Red Sox since Mike Mussina did it September 2nd, 2001. And yes, we all remember that game as the Carl Everett game where Mussina took a perfect game into the ninth inning and lost it. But nonetheless, Jay Happ, I think I owe this dude an apology, and I'm going to tell you why. I truly, and I mean truly, have bashed this guy on the show, and I've said how he's not the pitcher that the Yankees thought they were going to get, and he really has been a disappointment with his contract, but over his last 6 starts, the guy has been really good. Let's take a look at those 6 starts, shall we? Dating back to August 16th against the Red Sox, okay? Through 5 2/3 in that game, allowed 1 run. Following that, he had that really good start against the Mets where he pitched into the 8th inning. Remember, Boone took him out. It wasn't very happy getting taken out of the game, but it is what it is. Allowed no runs in that one. Then, following that, just 5 days later against the Mets, struggled a little bit, allowed 4 runs over 5 innings of work. But then he got back on track. Another outing, he went into the 7th inning against the Blue Jays. They ended up losing that game. But Happ was definitely not the problem. He was solid in that one. Another 5 innings of 1-run ball against the Orioles, and then his last start where he allowed no earned runs over 8 scoreless frames against the Red Sox. Now, we're going to get into it more after we talk about Game 3 because obviously the guy who had the ball in Game 3 factors into this. But, and I want your opinion on this as well. That's why I'm posing the question. Does Jay Happ deserve a start in the postseason? And if so, and I'm not saying later on, because obviously we're talking that the Yankees are going to have a situation that they're going to have to use multiple starting pitchers if they get past the first round. But do you give Jay Happ the ball in a 3-game set at any point? Is he one of your top 3 arms? And we're going to discuss that in a little bit as well, because I think there's a lot to digest in that one. But nonetheless, Happ was the hero in this bowl game. The Yankees offense did more, and I mean more, than enough to give them the win and the lead in this one. So, a couple of more notes. 10 games in a row that they've won at this point. That makes 12 straight games against the Red Sox. 17 of their last 18 against their biggest rival. That's pretty crazy to me, especially given that this rivalry is usually so good. And the win also marked 28 consecutive winning seasons for the Yankees. This dates back to 1993. This is the second longest streak in Major League history, trailing only the New York Yankees, who had a streak of 39 straight winning seasons from 1926 to 1964. And let me give you a little bit of a history update in regards to this, okay? 28 consecutive winning seasons. I'm 27 years old right now. So I've never seen my New York Yankees have a losing season. That's pretty crazy to me. It really is. And I hope the streak lasts until I'm 100, because hopefully you live to 100. You know, we've been spoiled. The Yankees have been really good. Even in years where they haven't been as dominant as we would expect or hope, they are still finding ways to win ball games. And it's crazy to just think about. It's unbelievable to me. Now, there are some other things that I want to dive into in regards to this kind of streak and whatnot. This marks the Yankees' longest win streak against the Red Sox all time. They matched what they did in 1952 and 1953, as well as what they did in 1936. So this is the third time in Yankees history that they had 12-game winning streaks against the Red Sox. Happ, again, was phenomenal. He's the first outing of 8 innings, no walks, and no runs for any starting pitcher for the Yankees since June 27th, 2009. Remember what happened in 2009. Turned out to be a pretty damn good year for the Yankees. And let's also look into this. This is the second time in Yankees history that they've had a 10-game span with 10 wins and a plus 60 run differential or better. They also did this in August of 1939. And let's get back to Happ for a second. This season, he has two games where he threw a pitch into the eighth inning. Can you name how many other times the Yankees have had that this year? The answer is zero. Pretty impressive that it's Jay Happ getting that. So, you know, that's a stat that I'm sure you definitely wanted to know. And I give Happ credit, you know, from the vesting option issue to everything else that's going on, trying to make those numbers match to get his money. I understand it's a business. I understand where he's coming from. But at the beginning of the year, he really struggled. But the guy has turned it up a notch, and you got to give him credit because, you know, a lot of guys would just fold and not want to compete. But he's been competing. He's been a competitor. And you have to be impressed with what he's done. Regardless how you feel about the guy, regardless of whether or not you want the option to be vested or whatnot, you know, I give him a lot of credit. I give him props. You know, I've said before, I beat him up a lot on this show for his poor performance early on in the year. But, however, he's really turned it up a notch and helped this Yankees team when they truly, truly needed that little boost. Now we're going into Game 3 of the series, and everybody's thinking sweep, right? The Yankees have won 9 straight against the Red Sox this year, looking for 10 in a row. Davey Garcia on the mound, the young gun, the guy who's been really impressive as of late, the guy who I said on our last show I would give the ball to in the postseason. Well, Davey got lit up. And the Yankees really didn't have it. They scored 2 runs on 3 hits. They go on to lose this one, 10-2. It wasn't the way that you wanted it to go. However, you lose some. It happens. You know, they've won 10 in a row going in. You were expecting they were going to lose at some point and at some time. Red Sox had 10 runs on 14 hits in this ballgame. Really wasn't much going for the Bronx Bombers. Garcia, 3 innings pitched, allowed 6 runs. The bulk of the damage was done against him and Jonathan Holder. Luis Sessa had 2 strong innings. We're going to get to him in just a moment as well. And Eric Kratz, the game got so out of hand, we saw Eric Kratz pitch an inning. He let up a run on a hit. It was a home run. But nonetheless, we saw him pitch. It was pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed watching Eric Kratz pitch. It was rather funny to me. But anyway, regardless, let's get back into the important things here. Luke Voit hit his 21st homer of the season. If you're looking at the last 2 seasons, 2019 took him 429 at-bats to accomplish that feat. In 185 at-bats this year, Voit has matched that. He's been phenomenal. And I mentioned Luis Sessa twice, and I want to get into him now. He's another guy that takes a lot of beating from Yankees fans, but he's been really good. He has not allowed a run in his last 11 and two-thirds innings pitched, which is 9 appearances. So he's been another guy that Aaron Boone's been able to rely on out of the bullpen. You know, he might not be pitching your big high-leverage situations, but, man, when he comes in, he's getting the job done. You got to be really impressed with what he's done over this span of time. Now, let's get back into the Garcia-Happ scenario because I posed a question earlier. If you're in a 3-game set and you have to go to a game 3, say you go Gerrit Cole in game 1, you win game 1. I'm just going to throw a scenario out, right? And we'll say you're playing Minnesota, whether it's in the Bronx or it's in Minnesota. You win game 1 with Gerrit Cole on the mound, everything's riding high. Say Tanaka doesn't have it in game 2, right? You have to go to a game 3. Do you give the ball to Davey Garcia, the young gun, and hope that he can get you through? Or do you turn to Happ, who might be a better matchup for the Twins? And here's the situation that I'm thinking. I think it's going to be based on matchup. If you're looking at the Twins, because obviously it looks like that's who the Yankees are going to match up with. Things could obviously change, but that's how it's looking right now. The Twins' offense is better against right-handed pitchers than they are against lefties. So maybe you do give Jay Happ the start in a pivotal game 3. And I know that's scary to think about because earlier in the year, if you told me that Happ was going to be in line for a big game 3, I would have probably laughed and said the Yankees are doomed. Maybe you give him the ball in game 2. Say you do win a game 1 with Cole. Do you think about holding back Tanaka for a possible game 3 or a possible game 1 in the next series? There's a lot of different scenarios that could be played out, but the way that the Yankees are kind of shifting the rotation, it seems like they're kind of set with Cole and Tanaka going 1 and 2, given that they're going to have an extra day of rest prior to that. Aaron Boone announced that the rotation would be shifted a little bit. It looks like it's going to be a bullpen game on Monday in the first game of their new series against Toronto. It might be Michael King. It might be a mix of everybody. It is still left to be determined. Then Gerrit Cole is going to get the ball on Tuesday night. That's another game against the Blue Jays. And then you're going to see Tanaka in game three. So obviously, you're going to see a little bit of a difference there in regards to the rotation, because it should have been Cole on Monday, Tanaka on Tuesday. It, number one, gives them one more start in the regular season, but then in turn also prepares them a little more for the postseason. And Boone said he talked to both pitchers. The extra day of rest was okay, so they'll go in rather fresh, and you just hope that the extra day doesn't throw off their routine. And given it's a four-game set, Happ will get the ball against Toronto. It'll be interesting to see how the Yankees use him in that ballgame. Number one, they still might be fighting for that four seed. They probably are going to still be fighting for that four seed. And they have to still hold off Toronto. So obviously, if they have to win that game, which is a likely scenario, you know, all hands are going to be on deck for that one. But anyway, it's going to be interesting how they use the pitching in the postseason. You know, obviously, Cole and Tanaka are one and probably two. But who gets that third start is going to be very, and I mean very, interesting. And then when you look into the next round, say they win the first round matchup. Obviously, we think that they will. If they go into that next matchup, how do you line up the pitching? Because you're going to need to use four starters, at least. So do you use Garcia? Do you use Montgomery? Do you use both? It's going to be very, very interesting. And then after this series with Toronto, the Yankees finish off the regular season with a quick set against the Miami Marlins in the Bronx. And that's no gimme either. That's really, really no gimme. And the Yankees should be in action on Tuesday, September 9th in the first round, or Wednesday, September 30th, depending on how the schedule pans out. So we covered a lot of the series in regards to, you know, it panned out nicely for the Yankees. You take 2 of 3 against the Red Sox. You had a really, really good season against them, a team that really has struggled. I love how Red Sox beat writers are saying that they're tanking for Jack Leiter. They don't think they'll get the number one overall pick, but Jack Leiter's a really nice piece. We're willing to help you there. And, you know, 9 out of 10 is a really good number against a team that you should beat up on, especially given the circumstances the Red Sox are currently in. And now you just got to look ahead. You hope to see a very good Gerrit Cole and Tanaka in their final outings of the regular season. You hope that the offense continues to thrive and gets back on track. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily the same thing in Boston. They did have their fair share of struggles, I would say. But we can't expect them to score 10 to 20 runs a night. I said that on our last show as well. Anywhere from 5 to 8 runs should get the job done on a nightly basis. And this Yankees lineup is definitely capable of that. And, you know, you want to win that four spot, and then by win I mean take advantage of it, because Minnesota's really good at home. If that's the team you're going to end up playing, you want to make sure that they're coming to your home field. And then you write the narrative again that you beat them in the postseason once again and keep the streak going. But nobody's a pushover in this playoff race. Nobody's going to be easy regardless of how it shapes up. We're in for a bumpy ride, people. The Yankees have to be ready to play, and I'm sure they're loading up for this, because obviously this is what you signed up for. This is what everybody thought of at the beginning of the year. This is what drives us. And this is what drives the Bronx Bombers, is that quest for another World Series title. And we're going to continue bringing you more content as the weeks go on. We have a lot to talk about this week. We're going to give you another recap on the Blue Jays series. We'll look ahead to the Marlins series to end the regular season. And then we'll recap that and look straight ahead to the postseason run. But as always, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. The podcast available on all podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. Wherever you listen, subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, we are on Amazon Music, people. This is great, another outlet for you to listen to our show. Go to DelahantyMedia.com, get all your Delahanty Media official gear, support the brand, be a public advertiser for us. We love seeing people wearing our gear. I went out today, I wore some new gear that I got, and everybody was loving it. So make sure you join the wave before it's too late. And as always, follow us, interact with us, let us know your thoughts. because we're excited for postseason baseball. We're excited for what this team's been doing. You know, they might have lost the third game in a series, but winning 10 of 11 is really good, especially given that just a couple of weeks ago we were at rock bottom with this team. But they're getting healthy. They're trying to stay healthy, and we're hoping that a long postseason push is in our future. But we won't know until they play some more baseball, and we, regardless of how it shapes up, will be here to break it all down for you. Until next time, friendly reminder, as always, let's go Yankees. Keep the faith going. It's going to be an interesting last week of the 2020 regular season. But until next time, I'm Nick Delahanty. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. We will talk to you really soon. Take care, everyone.